I have been away from this place for a while, a longer while than I've ever been away from St. John's during the time I've come to be the parish priest. Things happen when you're away. Things in the parish and in the community, and I've been trying to keep up with all of that as well as I could while I was away. And so I suppose the most important thing that I need to say on returning to this place, and especially to all of you who live in Newton, is this. I know that many of you, I suppose most of you, wish you got better sermons here. And that maybe once in a while, at least, I might crack a book and make use of a scripture commentary or one of those subscription sermon services or something. But at least I can say with great conviction that the words you hear here are my own and no one else's. And the good news about a preacher who never refers to reference works is that there is no danger that anything said here has ever been said anywhere else. If you don't know what all that's about, ask somebody from Newton at coffee hour. It might be ironic to follow that introduction with a sermon about words and the idea of words, but that is pretty much where we are going. I have taken for my text this morning not the idea itself, but a clue to the idea. This line from the 85th Psalm, "Truly God's salvation is very near those who fear him." The nearness of God is the theme this morning, and especially the nearness of the Word of God, an idea that we sort of not at, but don't really credit all that much. After all, for us, God is an externality. God is something outside of us, and that is not surprising. The way we see the world is divided between subject and object, between ourselves and everything else in the world. The only thing in here with me is me. Everything else is out there. That sounds perfectly obvious, but it is very different from the way our ancestors understood the world. The gulf separating this thing we call the self from all other things was not just smaller, it was essentially not yet invented. People understood themselves as far more enmeshed with family, with community, with society, and certainly with God. It is a kind of paradox that over the centuries, as the self has become more important, it has also become less connected. It has taken up more space in our consciousness, but it has created more space between us and everything and everyone else. So that old John Donne poem turns out to seem quaint, but not very accurate. You remember the one, right? We are islands, every one of us. No man is an island. We are not so sure. That is how it feels. We go to the store to get more of an externality called food, and we don't really understand ourselves to be part of a system linking earth and work and farmers and harvest. We go to school to get more of an externality called knowledge, and we see it primarily as something we do for ourselves and not for our society. We go to the mall to get the externality of goods, and we go to church to get more of an externality called God. And in each case, we put ourselves in the place of evaluating the quality of this thing, this outside thing that we acquire. We stand apart from these things and evaluate goods and food and knowledge and even God. We hold it separate from ourselves. We never truly open the boundaries that separate this idea we have of ourselves to admit or include anything else from outside. This is another way of saying we want things on our own terms. We want to set the terms under which we admit anything else into our lives. We do not accept labels, associations, identifications, or anything else that others might use to reduce us to a category. We are not prepared to allow anyone to associate us with Republicans or Democrats, liberals or conservatives, pro this or anti that. We are not even that ready to be associated with Christ or to be called Christians, because we don't wish to be lumped in with all of the errors the church has abundantly made. These things are all words. And for us, words are exactly that same kind of externality. They describe things or ideas or causes or groups from which we insist we are independent. We get to decide whether or not we are willing to associate ourselves with any of the things those words signify. And by and large, we would rather be free of any of them. The problem is, it can get sort of lonely here inside our sovereign selves. In our anxiety not to stoop to accept anyone's label, we end up being kind of meaningless. But of course, there is a different kind of word. It is a word that does not so much describe as announce. It is a word that does not connote so much as it brings into being. It is the word by which God speaks and brings the creation forward. It is the word that creates a new reality simply by being uttered. It is the word that God says on the first day and the second day and the third day that brings forward all there is. It is the word that was in the beginning with God and that is God. And it is the word spoken of by Paul this morning in his letter to the Romans, where he reminds them of how this same word was spoken of way back in the Torah. This is a case of the Bible quoting the Bible. And that is almost always a clue that something very interesting is going on. You can tell what's up because right in your own Bible, if you look at it or on the helpful cheat sheet I put in your order of service this morning, you will find in the 8th verse of Romans 10 these words set off in quotation marks. The word is very near you on your lips and in your heart. What Paul is quoting here is not a popular song or a well-known play. He is quoting to the Romans from the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of the Torah, something they would have known very well. They would have known the original meaning of those words. To the Jewish people, those words came at the end of the summation of all the covenant code, all of the laws and the rules that we had to follow in order to be in right relationship with God, and they were meant to be reassuring. They were meant to reassure people that it wouldn't be so hard to follow all of those rules because God had written them in our hearts. God had created us in such a way that we would tend toward wanting to fulfill the law, wanting to live by its precepts. We would do it naturally. Except what Paul knows, what centuries and generations of the Jewish people had learned since the covenant code was given to them was that it really wasn't easy and it didn't come naturally. Paul is saying there is still truth in those words, but it is a truth that the Christian idea uniquely reveals. It is that the word that is very near us on our lips and in our hearts is not a set of laws. It is a personal relationship. It is something that does, in fact, come very naturally to us. because we are social creatures. It is something that breaks down the gap between the internal self of feelings and fears and thoughts and plans and the external world of things and ideas and causes and consequences. And it is something we cannot even separate ourselves from, although some of us, anyway, sure do try hard to do. That word is the presence of the living God in our lives. Not just once in history in the person of Jesus, but for all time and for all life in the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit that is enfleshed by God's community, the church. And that is not a thing separate from ourselves. Though we often make ourselves more comfortable or more products of our own day and age by imagining somehow that it is. It is so close to us that it is exactly what we are experiencing when we feel the power and the pull of love, or the presence of the possibility of grace, or the undeniable reality of the sacred breaking through into our existence. It is so close to us that we actually could not exist without it, because it is the source of what we feel as hope for a better world, as a longing for peace, as a passion for justice. It is so close to us that we could imagine it taking up the space between the coiled strands of the DNA that make each of us uniquely who we are, and all of us equally human. That word, in the end, is the very presence of God, so close to us, so proximate to us that we cannot see it. And of course, that is the truth, because it is so close to us that by the grace of God, we can never see God's presence as something separate and apart from ourselves. Amen.